Our first scripture reading is from Acts. I'll be reading from chapter 2, verses 1 through 21. Prepare your hearts for the reading of God's holy word. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our native language? Parthian, Medes, and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans, Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They've had too much wine." Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd. "Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." Our next reading is from the book of Romans, chapter 12, only verses 1 and 2. "Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God, for this is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." There ends the reading of God's holy word. May the Lord give his blessing to the reading and the hearing of it.
Shame is undone. In your presence,
children, come and join me this morning. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
How are you today?
Good.
Now, do you guys notice anything different about the church this morning?
There's balloons.
There's balloons. Anything else? What else?
The people over there.
There are a number.
Cool suits.
They are. There's a number of our students wearing cool white suits.
Are they dancers?
Maybe if you ask them real nice, they'll dance for you. What else, Charlotte? The TVs are on. Yes, that's a little different. What else, Joshy? There's ballerinas. I don't see any ballerinas. Like I said, maybe they'll dance. They're ballerinas. Well, maybe. What else, Talia? I'm wearing a suit. That's probably the biggest difference this morning.
Noteworthy.
That's the biggest difference. There's also no people singing. That's actually because Laura and Larissa and Lacey were. What's up?
Mom got me a birthday cake.
She got you a birthday cake. Is it your birthday?
Awesome, Greg.
Yeah.
Oh, next year, John. Bella.
What else? What else is different? The blankets, absolutely. Okay, well, happy birthday. All right. No more. I want to get on with the lesson because we got a lot going on today. So, what today is Pentecost Sunday. And that's why we have all these balloons up, and they're red and orange and yellow. And red represents, do you know what it represents?
The blood of God.
Almost. That's a good answer.
Good answer.
That's a very good answer. But it actually represents the Holy Spirit. And we use the balloons to represent the Holy Spirit because, do you guys know what's inside balloons?
Air.
And can you see the air without the balloons?
No.
No. But you can see the balloons being held up by the air, the helium that's inside them. And just like that, the Holy Spirit, we don't see him, but we can see the effects of him in our world.
Amen.
And so that's what we're remembering today, is the day that the Holy Spirit came down to all the disciples on Pentecost Sunday. So let's bow our heads and thank God that the Holy Spirit has come upon us. Dear Lord, we thank you for the gift that you have sent us, your Holy Spirit, coming and joining us and guiding us and helping us to work in this world. And we thank you that we are able to see his presence, even though we are not able to see him specifically. We pray that we continue to look for and interact with your Spirit as he continues to guide us in this world. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right. And it looks like here comes the candy now.
Dear members of the confirmation class, this is your day. This is your hour. This is your sermon. See, they suddenly were sober. Now, everybody else in the room can listen, but I wrote it for you. Now, some of you might be wondering about the word dance in my sermon title. And I don't know, maybe Brody was talking about that when he was saying about you guys look like dancers this morning. Don't worry, I'm not going to make you choose partners and come up and compete against one another, and we're not going to vote later. Now, Mr. Fluke and I tried to prepare you for this day. Dancing wasn't a part of it, okay? The reason dance is in the sermon title this morning is for one reason. And that's because confirmation, just like dancing, is something you do with your feet. To be sure, other parts of your body are involved, especially your head and hopefully your heart. But in a few minutes, we're going to ask you to get on your feet, and then we're going to ask you to come up front. We're going to ask you about your relationship with Jesus Christ. We're going to ask you to kneel. And surprises of surprises, we are not going to ask your parents to come up with you. Every other time in your life, when something big has happened, Like when you joined the Scouts or when you won the spelling bee or when you earned a merit badge or two or whatever, somebody in your family came and stood with you. More often than not, if you're a Scout, somebody even stuck a pin on your mom. But your mother is not going to follow you today. Neither is your dad. Nobody else in your life is going to stand with you today. It's not because they don't care. They care deeply. But when you come up front, you are going to come up by yourself. And as your name is said, I'm going to ask your family to stand, along with all of those family members and friends who are here as well. But they're going to stay in their pews. And when your name is spoken, they are not going to move. Because this time, you guys are on your own. Years ago, you see, they made some promises about you. They said that they were going to make for sure that you were part of a church. Years ago, they promised to introduce you to Jesus Christ. And for better or for worse, they did their job. But this is your time. You have come to the time in your life when your parents can no longer do everything for you. You've come to a time in your life when you need to stand for yourself. And you've come to a time in your life when you need to step out on your own. Our Christian faith is designed for you to come to this time when you no longer live under the umbrella of your parents' faith. Now that makes your parents really proud, but it also makes your parents really nervous. Parents always get nervous when their kids do things on their own. Because once you're old enough to cross a few streets and to make a few decisions, your parents aren't quite sure where you're going to go or what you're going to do. Parents are especially worried about who you're going to follow. Parents told you things like, I don't care what everybody else is doing. You're not like everybody else. Or did you ever hear the one, if everybody else got in line and jumped off a cliff, would you jump off a cliff too? What a ridiculous question. You know, when we're older, we know those are dumb questions. But at the time, they seem, you know, like we're making a point. You know, really, it's a silly question, but you know what is a silly answer to that? It's the fact that if the cliff isn't too high, you guys might want to jump off too. Your parents, though, they have a point. You are different. And parents spend a lot of time trying to remind their children of that fact. All parents know how important it is for you to feel like you belong. We know that you all want to fit in. The challenge is to remind you who you belong to and where you need to fit in. Now, I know I've shared with you how it was when Ian and Greg became teenagers. You know, they wanted to blend in just like you. But John and I, quite honestly, were worried that they were going to blend in too much, especially when they began to drive, especially when they began to date. And so whenever they would walk out the door, I would yell after them. You've heard this before. Remember who you are. That was the parting shot as they went out the door. But what did that mean? It's not like they were going to forget their names. And it wasn't like I was saying, don't forget your keys, you know, or don't forget your manners, or don't forget your wallet. In fact, I wasn't even saying, don't forget to put gas in the car before you bring it back home. And don't forget to be home by 11. It was so much more than that. I was saying, don't forget who you are. Don't forget who your family is. I would sometimes say to them, don't forget who you serve. If I was honest, I bet there was more than one time when they would have loved to forget who they were. And they probably did on occasion. Which is why I kept yelling it after them every time they left the house. Every time you walk out the door, you carry your family name. You carry your family history. You carry your family's hopes and dreams. And you carry a whole list of your family's values. Now, whether you understand all of that or not, whether you even like all of that or not, whether you plan to honor all of that or not, once you get out on your own, that is just who you are. It's in your bones, and it's in your genes, and it's in that computer head of yours that you call a memory, and it's also in your heart. Who you are is like underwear you never take off. Even if you get 500 miles from home, and you never, ever have to walk out the front door of your house again, you will never be able to shake that voice telling you, remember who you are. And you know what? Starting today, you have something else to remember. You have to remember after today that you are disciples of Jesus Christ. A few minutes from now, Pastor Mark, Seminarian Jonathan, boy, that's a mouthful, Johnny. Seminarian Goob, Deacon Fluke, and myself, we're going to put our hands on your head, and we are going to mess up your hair, especially Izzy. And we're going to say your name, and we're going to call on the Lord to defend you with his heavenly grace. And we're going to ask him to fill you with the Holy Spirit to overflowing. And by that Holy Spirit, we are going to ask him to confirm in you the faith and the fellowship of all true blood-bought, redeemed believers of Jesus Christ. Which means, from this moment forward, you belong to Jesus. You are bought and paid for. Which is going to make you different from people who don't belong to Jesus. Be clear about that. You are never going to be able to wear the uniform of the world without realizing that underneath, in addition to your underwear, you are also wearing your relationship with Jesus Christ. Which means that there is going to be times when you will not fit in with the crowds. There will be times when you are going to look different, unusual, odd, or even weird. In Paul's words, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is for you, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Now, I suppose you are wondering right about now just how odd is confirmation going to make you? Well, in your grandparents' day, kids who followed Jesus Christ were expected to look pretty darn different. They didn't play cards. They didn't go to the movies. They didn't go dancing. They didn't wear makeup. And they especially didn't do those things on Sunday. Fortunately, those days were over by the time I came along. But I have to tell you, I have profound respect for groups that practice their faith by limiting their contacts with things and others that are worldly. But I am not suggesting that as soon as you are confirmed that you guys go home, unplug your laptop, and throw away your phones. I am not suggesting that. But what I am suggesting is that at every critical turn in your life, every time you make a decision, you ask yourself, does the fact that I am a follower of Jesus Christ have anything to say to me here? If you do that, a couple of really cool things are going to happen. First, you will occasionally find yourself doing some lowly work. Now, you'll remember that on the night before Jesus died, he washed the disciples' feet, which that was really lowly work in that culture. It was dirty work. It was smelly work. Animals walked in those streets. But as he went from friend to friend with a basin and a towel, he said, love does things like this, and it does. Love sometimes stoops down in order to do the simplest things for the neediest of people. If you follow Jesus Christ, you will never again be able to look at somebody else in need and say, not my problem. I don't care. To be a follower of Jesus Christ means looking out for other people. And it also means looking to find Jesus in the presence of other people. Now, I don't want you guys to miss my point. The point is not that you go home and that you scrub down all of the bathrooms in your house, although I think I could get good money from your moms if I could talk you into doing that. The point I am making is that the followers of Jesus Christ are going to find him and they are going to serve him in some of the world's messiest places. And they're going to find him while taking care of some of the world's messiest people. And it isn't always pretty. But once you're a Christian, you just can't turn your back. Now, second, in addition to doing some really lowly work, Jesus is going to ask you to make some hard choices. You're going to be challenged. And because you want to fit in, you're going to be tempted. And what's more, you are going to know that you know that you know in your heart what is right and what is wrong. And to fit in, you might be tempted to do the wrong. But because of what you're about to do here this morning, you will be able to ask yourself at every critical turn in your life, does the fact that I am a follower of Jesus Christ have anything to say to me here? Because you know it will. And if you listen, the Holy Spirit will give you the strength to choose wisely. So when we say your name up here, I'm going to shortly just ask you guys to dance your way up here, okay? Because today, you really are going to be dancing. Your souls are going to be dancing with the one and only bright and shining star, and that's Jesus Christ. But when you leave church at the close of this service today, remember who you are. Remember who you serve. Amen. Pastor Mark, Mr. Fluke, we invite to come forward those who want to affirm their baptism by being confirmed today, and those who would like to affirm their faith by being baptized today. Please, ladies and gentlemen, come forward. Friends, we are all received into the church through the sacrament of baptism if we were baptized as infants or brought in with our parents as we were dedicated. These people have found nurture and support in our presence. And through prayer and much study, they have been led by the Holy Spirit to affirm their baptisms and to request believer baptism this morning in our presence. They want to publicly proclaim the covenantal relationship that they have with Christ and with the members of this church family. They are here to start to serve the Lord as he has given them increase, to use the gifts that the Holy Spirit has given each one uniquely.
You are no longer strangers and sojourners, but you are equally citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets. Christ Jesus alone being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure is joined together and grows into a holy temple in Christ, in whom you also are built into it for a dwelling place of God and the Spirit.
Okay, now since I don't know your middle names, I have a cheat sheet. Now, as I say their names and ask them these questions. And then we will come back and we will ask them some joint questions. Just when that name is announced, would you please stand if you are members of this confirmand's family? And moms and dads, and even if you were godparents, if they were infant baptized, if you are here today, know that you are also welcome to stand. But do not move from your pew. Kenneth Allen Zacharias, do you confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? And when did you do that? Benjamin William Zacharias, do you confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? And when did you do that, Ben? Kayla Ann Brobst, do you confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? And when did you do that? Isabel Kathleen Steskowski. I almost got it wrong, didn't I? Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior?
Yes.
And when did you do that, Izzy?
Last year at the creation.
And Madison Marie Neifert, do you confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? And when did you do that, Maddie? Okay. Megan Elizabeth Dalator, do you confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? And when did you? You got a lot of mileage out of that, didn't you? Blake Isaac Groover, do you confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? And when did you do that, big guy?
When I was 5 years
old. Okay, all right. Kevin George Kistler, do you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? And when did you do that? Okay. Caleb Daniel Shaner, do you confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior?
Yes.
And when did you do that, buddy? That I don't think you were ever that big. Maybe this big. Victoria Peyton Conkus, do you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? And when did you do that? Okay. And Sheridan Lee Bensinger, do you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior?
Yes.
And when did you do that?
Confirmation class.
Okie dokie. See, we all learned a lot. We learned the middle names of all of our confirmands, didn't we? Go ahead and kneel, guys. Now, these are going to be a couple questions you're just going to all answer together, all right? Do all of you desire to affirm your infant baptism? And, Izzy, do you desire to be baptized today into this faith and family of Jesus Christ? If so, say we do. And do you renounce the powers of evil and desire a new freedom of new life in Christ? If so, say, we do. And do you all promise by the grace of God to always be Christ's disciples, to always follow in the way of our Savior, to always resist evil, to show love and justice, and to work in the word of Jesus Christ as best you are able? And if so, say, I promise with the help of God.
I promise with the help of God.
And do you promise by the grace that the Lord has given you to grow in the Christian faith with all of us here at Christ Church, to be a faithful member of this church, to show up on Sunday to help us with the work of the church, and to celebrate Christ's presence and further of his mission in the whole world? If so, say, I promise with the help of God. Okie dokie. Ready, gentlemen? Kenny, the God of peace sanctify you through and through. May the Holy Spirit come and fill you to overflowing. May you always show the grace of God in your life and in the work of your hands until the coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Strengthen, Father God, this your servant, Ben. With your heavenly grace, might he always continue to be yours forever. Give him a daily increase in your Holy Spirit until he sees you face to face. Amen. Father God, in Kayla, we pray that your mercies would be multiplied and that she would always reflect your grace and peace, and that she would always be able to keep the vows that she has made today and faithfully serve you all of her days. Isabel, we baptize you this morning in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit. We pray that the Lord would seal you with his Holy Spirit, and by his grace, that he would grow you more and more into a disciple of Christ. We pray, Father God, that you would come upon Izzy and that she would rise in you through her believer baptism today. Amen. Father God, we pray for Madison, that, Lord, you would preserve her blameless until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and that you would send your Holy Spirit to fill her to overflowing and give her a boldness for you. In Jesus' name. Strengthen your servant Megan, Father God. Might she always reflect you in everything she says, does, and thinks, until the coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Father God, send your Holy Spirit to Blake, and Father, come upon him so that he might speak your word with power and with grace and with love. Might he serve you all of his days. In Jesus' name. Father God, we pray for Junior, for Kevin, that you would come upon him, Lord, in your spirit, that he would be strengthened and encouraged, and that he would show a boldness for you in his life and in the world. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Father God, come upon Caleb. Fill him to overflowing by your Holy Spirit. Encourage him. Strengthen him. Give him a wisdom so that he might serve you all of his days. Amen. Holy Spirit, come upon Tori. Iron out every rough place in her life and encourage her. Give her a strength, a wisdom, a peace in her heart that only you can give through your Holy Spirit. Amen. Father God, send your Holy Spirit to Sherry right now in the name of Jesus. Lift her up. Encourage her heart. Give her a fresh vision for her tomorrows on this earth and where you would have her serve. But we pray it in the name of the one who will make it possible, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Let's bow our heads and pray. We rejoice, Father God, And we rejoice with these young people in the gift of your Holy Spirit and in the Spirit's power. And we thank you that you will awaken in us a truth that we might face the evils of this world, and that you will inspire us to venture out into fullness of life. We give you thanks that they have been moved to affirm their baptisms and to be baptized. And we pray in agreement right now that you would help them to live not for themselves, but for your Son and for those whom you love. Keep them steady and abounding in hope, never giving up, pressing towards the goal of life with you in Jesus Christ. Amen. Please stand, guys. Well, hey, I'll tell you what, you were paying attention. We have known you since you've been much younger. And we have watched you grow. And we are so proud of the work that you have put in. And we want to thank you for all of your faithfulness, for your devotion to learning the things of God, because they will serve you in life. We thank you that you have come to this day. But it's time now for you to take your rightful place. Because remember I said that now you're not kids anymore in our congregation. You are now full voting young adults. And you must discern how the Holy Spirit would have you vote on different things that come before us in a congregation, because we are led by the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit alone. We have no hierarchy to blame when we make mistakes. So do you all promise to pray, to seek God's face, to be faithful, to serve this, your new church family, and now that you are full members, to take your rightful place in these pews among these your friends? If so, say, we promise with the help of God. Those who are here this morning have witnessed this event, the ordinance of the church. Do you promise? Because you will be looked at. What does it look like to live your life like a Christian? What does it look like to make Christian decisions? These are important responsibilities that by your being here today, you have accepted. Those of you who are here today that have witnessed this event, do you promise your love, support, and care, and yourselves to seek the Holy Spirit as you go through life? If so, say, we promise with the help of God. Now, very soon, you guys are going to be asked to sign the book. And no, Ben, you can't just use your initials. In 100 years, they won't know what that means. Because there are names in this book that go back 100 years, and then some. And your names will be added to that list. And that's pretty awesome. Now, while they're directing, I need to tell you that Mr. Fluke has been an amazing teacher for these young people. And as he explained earlier in the year, he said that in confirmation, we have kind of a good cop, bad cop situation going for our training. And he said, the surprise is I'm the bad cop. But thank you, Deacon Fluke, for all of your hard work. You've been awesome. I think they deserve a hand, don't you, for all of the work they've done? Please stand for the benediction. I'd like to thank Pastor Mark and Seminarian Johnny for their help. Something else we can check off your list there, Johnny. Okay. Please be mindful of those events that are going on this week. You'll have an opportunity to congratulate the confirmands. They will be outside. They'll be in the narthex so that you can shake their hand and welcome them into full fellowship in the church family. Please, young people, take a balloon. And if there are any left, old people, take them too. And we're so proud of you guys. And the benediction is even for you guys today. Are you ready? The benediction is taken from 1 Timothy. Okay? Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young. But set an example for the believers in speech, in life, in love, in faith, and in purity. Until the Lord comes, devote yourselves to the public reading of Scripture, to preaching and teaching. Do not neglect your gifts, which have been given to you through the body of elders when they laid hands on you. That's a prophetic word for each one of you. Remember who you are. Remember who you serve. Amen.